Hi there. Welcome to the Spot Actor Podcast. I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. On today's podcast, we're covering fasting, hormones, and skin. My guest is Dr. Felice Gersh, who is a combination of an award-winning physician, board certified both in OBGYN and in integrative medicine. Her educational background includes an undergraduate degree from Princeton University, a medical degree from University of Southern California School of Medicine, and a two-year fellowship in integrative medicine at the University of Arizona School of Medicine. Dr. Gersh has dedicated her career to women, focusing on the aspects of women's health, which are unique, underappreciated, and poorly managed. She is the medical director of the innovative Integrative Medical Group of Irvine. On today's podcast, we cover the various types of fasting, how they work, and Dr. Gersh actually shares what the results have been with her own patients, what she's seen in her practice, particularly those women with hormonal imbalances, since that's a big specialty of hers. So I think you'll be interested to hear the results that people are getting and the types of fasting they're doing to get those results. We also, at the end, touch on why birth control pills are an unhealthy choice for hormones, aging, and skin. So please enjoy this interview. Dr. Gersh, it's great to have you on my podcast. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me and for allowing me to discuss this amazing topic of skin health and how it relates to hormones and fasting.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go ahead and dive into, let's talk about fasting and how does that help with the skin and anti-aging? I know this is something that you believe strongly in. And so explain everybody how that works.
Well, we evolved many, many millennia ago at a time when food was not readily available. And so we evolved to live with periods of famine, short periods. We can actually live with long periods, but that's not going to make your skin look great. But when you have a short period of lack of food, the body says, after about 3 days of not eating, the body says, okay, we've been lazy, we've been waiting for the food to arrive, but it's not coming. So we're going to have to go get it, whatever it takes, raid the next village, go hunting, go gathering. We have to go get food because we have a window of time while we're still strong and can do this. So the body says, okay, let's get rid of crappy old cells because they're taking up nutrients that we don't have to spare. So yucky cells, senescent old cells, potentially cancerous cells that are just beginning to get abnormal, they will die off. It's a programmed cell suicide, or the word is apoptosis. So you eliminate bad cells. And then you say, okay, I've got to be smart if I'm going to find food. So it actually increases brain growth factors, like brain-derived neurotrophic factor. So you get smarter, you feel calmer, you feel even happier. It's like a wonderful feeling in the brain. It reduces inflammation. It starts burning the bad fat, the visceral fat. So you lose the fat that you really want to get rid of, the kind that's giving you systemic inflammation. So, and then after you've been fasting for, if you're doing a water fast for 4 days, and then you start refeeding because you get food, or if you do like the fasting mimicking diet that was developed at USC's Longevity Institute, you actually start regrowing the organs. You stimulate stem cells because we kill off all those crappy cells. So the organs literally shrink, and they've actually measured this. You actually see shrinkage of organs, which sounds terrible until you then realize that the body has a mechanism to restore, and it stimulates stem cells and you regrow those organs. And these same processes will be occurring in the skin. So you actually get to rejuvenate your skin. And I've seen it, and there are plastic surgeons, there are other people that have discovered this even before the people doing the research discovered it, that as a side benefit to the overwhelmingly improved health that you get is that you get to look better. Like, how wonderful is that as a side effect?
Right. That's a great side benefit rather than side effect.
Right.
So now you mentioned water fasting, and there are lots of different types of fasts out there. What are the ones that are going to create the most benefit, and what do they involve? Because there's juice fasting, there's intermittent fasting, there's water fasting. When would you use each one of those, and how does that work? So let's get into this, because I'm sure people want to know the details of how they can do it.
Right. There's so many different words that are being bantered about. So if we start with a daily type of situation, some people call it a fast. I call it restricted eating or time-restricted eating. And that's where you, on a daily basis, on a 24-hour basis, you time your food intake. And this is based on that amazing new discovery that happened about 20 years ago. And then just a year ago, the discoverers of the clock genes got the Nobel Prize from medicine. And that is that we are programmed, completely programmed, by the 24-hour rotation of the Earth. And so our ancestors learned to live along with the rotation. So we're like day creatures and we're night creatures. And if we eat at night, as so many people do, like getting the late night munchies, that's really harmful to us. It's harmful to every organ system in our body. So what we want to do, and this has been shown in many, many studies, is to stop eating even during the 24-hour day at very specific times. So you would want to have a 13-hour fast from dinner to breakfast. Now, a lot of people start fasting in the morning in that they eat late at night, and then they wait and they don't eat until noon or 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And they think, well, I'm getting all this fasting in. But they're mistaken in that it's not the right timing, because it's not just doing it, it's doing it at the right time. So you want to have an early dinner, which is so hard for us with our society and our needs, but you want to stop eating preferably by around 7 p.m. because literally the beta cells in our pancreas go into sleep state. And if you eat after that, you're stressing your pancreas, your beta cells, and it's going to create more insulin resistance. So we don't want to do that. That's the real fast path to accelerated aging. So if you want to look older before your time, you're going to eat at night after 7 o'clock on a regular basis. It's just accelerated aging. It just is. So if you stop eating around 7 p.m., and then you eat about 13 hours later, it would be about 8 a.m. And of course, you can adjust this, and you have a good breakfast. It's been shown that, for example, if you eat the same food, but you eat most of it in the morning, the same healthy, hopefully nutritious food, but you put most of it into the morning, you will lose weight. You can eat the same food, but you eat it at night as your dominant meal, and you will gain weight. So it's, we now know it's so much more than just calories in, because it's how your body metabolizes it and so forth. So that's time restricted eating. And for the women out there, I'm sure there are many, for them to know that just by getting that 13-hour fast, and this has been shown that you lower your risk of breast cancer by 70%. So it's really huge. And we talk about like people who work at night shift nurses and night shift workers, they really take it in the, you know, really badly in terms of their health. And they will have accelerated aging, higher risk of just about every bad thing you can think of.
Certainly with people that live in Europe, they tend to eat really late at night. And in certain cultures, it's that late night eating. So how big was this study? Did it include, you know, like how did they come to these conclusions?
So it's interesting. If you do the same thing every day and you do it routinely, okay, you can actually reset your clock. So it's almost like you're living in a different time zone. So that is actually a very important point. If you live the way our ancestors did, then you really do find that you will have accelerated aging and you'll have more insulin resistance when you eat at night. And this has been shown. But if you are very consistent and you always eat at the same time every day, your body will adjust its clock over time. So if, for example, if people are living a flipped circadian rhythm, like they always work at night, okay, and they actually do reverse everything and they eat at the same time, but everything is flipped, but they do it every day of the week, then they will actually adjust over time. So we have what we call social jet lag, right? So that people do certain things during the week and then they live completely like in a different time zone on the weekend. They go to bed at a different time, they eat at different times. That's very hard on the body. But if you have a culture that does the same thing very repetitively, the body's clocks will adjust to that. But it has to be every day over years.
Okay, so it can work if people shift it to a little bit later, as long as it's a consistent thing. Now, again, so how with this study that was done, can you give us some information about like how big was it, and what they were, where how they chose these people?
Well, there've been many studies. So there's been observational studies involving women who work night shifts, where they found that they have close to twice the incidence of, say, breast cancer. We know that people who work at night have higher rates of depression, anxiety. So there've been a lot of observational studies. There was one study, it was a couple of thousand people. I'd have to get the actual reference for you, but in just 8 days of flipping the circadian rhythm. So they didn't really have time to adjust. 8 days is not enough. It takes at least 1 day typically to adjust for one time zone change. So after 8 days, they found that the insulin level had risen 22%. The leptin, had changed such that they lost their leptin. So leptin helps reduce appetite. That's why when people are sort of working at night, they often get these like hunger pangs. They get the cravings to eat, the late night munchies. So in just 8 days, they lost their ability to control their appetite and their insulin went off the charts higher. So it and their sleep efficiency went plummeting. So if you're going to be jumping around from different time zones or social jet lag where you're changing your schedule on a regular basis, there will be a price to be paid from a metabolic point of view. And of course, metabolism is really the life force of the person. So if you're metabolically unhealthy, you're just unhealthy.
Right. Okay. All right. So then go ahead with the other types of fasting.
Okay. So if you fast for, say, every other day, like the 5-2, where you fast or almost fast for 2 days out of every week, that's the 5-2. You eat normally 5 days and very, very few calories or no calories on 2 days of the week. Or you do alternate day fasting, where every other day you eat very few calories or no calories. You will have benefit for sure. You will lose weight. Okay, so that is the benefit. And of course, that's a huge benefit for a lot of people who need to lose weight. But you will not do the other things. You're not, other than that, you lose weight and that lowers inflammation, that reduces risk of diabetes. So there's the benefits from losing weight, but you don't get the intrinsic benefits of causing like bad cells to kill themselves, that program cell suicide. You're not going to get the organ rejuvenation. You're not going to get the stem cell stimulation, the increase in the brain growth factors. None of that will come into play. The other thing that happens when you have a more prolonged fast, like a water fast for 4 days or a fasting mimicking diet for five, is that it's like a total reboot to the gut microbiome, which I'm sure you've talked plenty about. So it reboots the gut microbiome, and it actually it's like a reboot to the circadian rhythm. So it actually does that, which will not happen if you do an alternate day fast or a 5-2. But I'm not putting those down at all because for people who can do that, and that's a very small percentage of people who can stick with that over any length of time. That's why I personally don't do that because I'm not, I can't do it. I get hungry. You don't actually, when you do a 4 day water fast or you do the fasting mimicking diet, by day three, you're in ketosis. You do not go into a really good state of ketosis with just 1 day. But when you get into a really good state of ketosis, you have almost a sense of euphoria. You feel great, you feel smart, and you don't have real appetite. You feel fine. You don't like have like I'm going to have to eat or I might die. That sometimes people get that feeling when they fast for 1 day. They really struggle. But once you're into this, and if you do it repetitively, like every month, and then after you get to your goal, just 4 times a year, that's all you need to maintain these wonderful attributes that you get. Whereas it's so hard to every other day hardly eat anything or even 2 days a week. So I'm all for people who want to do that, but just recognize you're not going to get any of these extra benefits. So you'll get weight loss, and that, leads to a lot of benefits for a lot of people, but that's where it stops.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Absolutely.
I think that there are certainly a lot of benefits that people can get from fasting, and I'm glad you're covering the different types so that people can understand which type of fasting might be best for them. Are there any things that you would say as far as cautions people should make, warning signs, anything like that, that reasons why people would not want to fast or what they need to watch out for.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, there are definitely contraindications. If you are too old, we hate to say this, but if you're particularly over 65, but it's very individualized, what happens is you start, because your hormones are going to go down, even if you're on hormone therapy, it's not going to be the same as if you're a woman and you had functioning ovaries at age 25. So you're going over time to lose some lean body mass. So we don't want to fast people who already are kind of short on healthy muscle. We do not want to lose muscle. We don't want to lose ligaments and tendons and bone. We can't replace them in our old age. It's really not going to happen. We're into maintenance. You know, growing bone and muscle is tough when you're over 65. So we don't want to lose it. And we're worried because we don't have the data. Nobody wants to study old people because, you know, there's not the same incentive, we'll say, and there's more risks. So we don't have the data. So if you're over 65, you really want to get a body composition and see what is your muscle mass and your lean body mass to make sure. And then I would definitely want those people monitored with body compositions as they went through a fast to make sure they're not losing lean body mass. So that would be one group that would be a concern. And then too young. We don't want, like, 18 and under, no. Even 21 is getting iffy. So I like to pick people over 21 because we really don't know what it's doing to brains in people who are that young. There's no data. You know, we don't want to make our patients into guinea pigs. We just don't want to go there. I'm sure we're not going to kill them, but we don't know if it's going to be the same benefit. No one has studied that group. So I like to pick, you know, and if someone really had a need and they were very obese, they had metabolic syndrome, they were maybe already going towards diabetes and they were 20, you know, even 19, I would definitely consider it, but I would individualize it very much in the 18 to 21, and over 21 should be no problem. Too thin. If you don't have a BMI of at least 18, you don't have enough storage and visceral fat, you know? So what are we going to burn? We have to burn something for energy. You're not getting food. You need energy. So if you don't have enough fat to burn, and a lot of lean bodybuilder men, if you know, they could have a much higher BMI than 18, right? But they really have almost no body fat. You're going to start burning their muscle. So you want to check and make sure that there's enough fat to burn during those few days because we don't want to lose our muscle. So too thin or just too little fat, you know, even at any BMI would be a contraindication. And then people who are ill. I mean, we're not going to take someone who has just recently had the flu, or they're in having a flu, or you know, they're sick. So you don't fast when you're sick, or if you're frail. Also, cardiac arrhythmias. No, we don't want to do that. If you have an arrhythmia problem, please don't fast because you never know. You might trigger something with fasting, and that's. And if you're, you know, if you're a diabetic and you're on insulin, I mean, there are people, if you have really significant issues, you're on a lot of pharmaceuticals, you should not do any fasting without absolute careful medical supervision.
Okay.
And of course, if you're pregnant, don't do it.
Probably nursing as well.
That's right. No nursing either, right? That's not the time to be fasting.
So, what do you find in your practice with people? How do you guide in your practice? How do you guide people use through this? How do you use this with your patients? And what results are they having as a result of that?
The results are, I'll start with that. You know, they're amazing. We do monitor body composition. We have that capability, and we do see the fat coming off and the lean body mass being preserved, as did show in the studies, as long as we choose properly our candidates, right? We're very careful about that. And in terms of when I use it, all women, when they're going through the menopausal transition, start to change their metabolic profile. They tend towards insulin resistance, inflammation, And because estrogen controls where body fat is distributed and how it's metabolized, many women, even they're doing everything right, you know, they're not changing anything, and they see their body shape morphing. It's so distressing. It's like, they come in, it's like, what happened to my waist? I had this like little hourglass figure. I was so proud of it. And now I look like SpongeBob. You know, this is, it's so discouraging. It's like, you know, we all know the grandma, you know, the grandma look, you know, and like, we don't want the grandma look, you know, where you just sort of, you know, you go, you know, to the apple. We don't want to be apples. And even when you do everything right, because hormones are destiny. Estrogen controls our metabolism, and it just is. So we want to help those women. So knowing that when we do 4-day water fast or fasting mimicking diet, you're really going to lower the visceral fat. I have found that the earlier the better. You know, this stuff is so resistant. It's really hard as you get further and further. So being proactive early is better than later. And just like we know with hormones, right? Receptors can shrivel over time. So the earlier we start recognizing that, you know, the estrogen is declining and so forth, the quicker we're going to help to prevent those problems downstream. So I love to incorporate this, say pretty routinely, I offer it to women from their mid-40s up. I really think that it's a wonderful thing, and they feel so good, and they feel like they're back in control. There's nothing worse than feeling out of control, that no matter what you do, nothing is working. So, and I know you've seen that too, where they say, I don't know what to do. I can't stop gaining weight, you know, and I just feel bad. And this not only helps them to lose that belly fat that they're developing, but it helps the brain. You know, all women as they transition into menopause have declining levels of estrogen in their brains, and they have word finding problems. And, you know, they can remember how to say their adjectives and verbs, but they forget their nouns. It's like, what was the name of that? You know, and that's been published. That's universal. And this makes them feel smart again. And it really makes them that, you know, I am not getting demented. I am a smart, sexy woman. They feel good in their bodies again. So that crowd, I think, is absolutely the best targeted crowd you can find. And then I look at women who are trying to get pregnant, especially my polycystic ovary syndrome group. And they are like, in many ways, they're like the menopausal women because they have a lot of the same metabolic dysfunctions. If you look at a list of all the metabolic dysfunctions of women with PCOS and all the metabolic functions that are dysregulated in women in menopause, they look the same. A lot of it has to do with declining levels of nitric oxide. And there are studies that show that estrogen is very key to creating this miraculous antioxidant that's called nitric oxide. It's, you know, a gas. It's like one gas in our body that does these amazing things. It relaxes arteries. It makes us smarter. And it really reduces inflammation. And both sets of women have reduced levels. And by doing the fasting mimicking diet with my PCOS patients, I've helped them to get pregnant. I can't say that everyone is going to change their dress size, you know, multiple sizes, because, you know, we don't make claims we can't really prove and so forth. But I have seen people lose weight, keep it off, not what they do in the conventional world, where they basically take women and they just starve them for 3 months, give them weight loss medications, and then trick them into getting pregnant. But they're really malnourished, they're not healthy, and then they have major complications during pregnancy. And we now know that the babies are often epigenetically altered to develop metabolic syndrome themselves. So that is not the solution. I want to get my women healthy before they get pregnant, right? So this is a wonderful tool to work with them along with all the other lifestyle and nutritional supplementation and so forth, and working with their rhythms and so on to help them reestablish it. So this is a key tool that I use in my women with PCOS at any stage, but particularly those wanting to get pregnant in the next year.
That's fantastic. And I definitely see in my practice the frustration with these, you know, these two groups that you've mentioned with weight and some of the other things that you mentioned. I think it's great to have this other tool. And it's almost like you're kind of asking your body to do a reset, right? It's like it's like a reprogram.
Absolutely.
And so the fasting mimicking diet, that is the, just to clarify and make sure people understand which is which. So that one is the 13-hour fasting, right? Overnight.
So time restricted eating. I actually work with the Longevity Institute, and I know personally Professor Walter Longo and his team, who worked for over 20 years developing the fasting mimicking diet, which I just have to say is so brilliant, to develop what I named it stealth food. It's, you're eating food that is very, very specifically formulated to fly under the radar of the nutrient sensors of the body, like mTOR. So you actually get the pleasure of eating while you get the benefits of fasting. That's what's so amazing. That's why I can use this with my patients. I have very poor success when I tell my patients, stop eating for 4 days and do this on a regular basis. I mean, you can get like 0.1% compliance with that kind of a recommendation. But when you actually give them food, now it's not a ton, but you get 3 meals a day. It's kind of Mediterranean because he's from Italy and he loves Mediterranean style food. And so you get 3 meals a day. It's all boxed up for you, so you don't have to think about what you're doing. And it's scientifically studied in the highest, published in the highest level journals. That, you know, this is mainstream university research, right? And and then, you know, like a lot of entrepreneurial universities, they turned it into a company. It's a startup company. It's not even like 2 years old. And then they made this product that they called Prolon, which is the fasting mimicking diet that they developed in their research lab. And Prolon is to stand for promoting longevity, because it did come from the Longevity Institute. But they're now doing so many studies now. They're looking at autoimmunity. There was a study they did in conjunction with a university in Germany where they extended it to 7 days instead of just the 5. And in the mouse model of multiple sclerosis, they had complete resolution, complete reversal of multiple sclerosis, never seen before. And in the humans, they had significant regrowth of the myelin sheath. And they're now doing work with Hashimoto's and lupus and other types of autoimmunity. So I'm very, very hopeful that we'll see tremendous benefit. Like you said, it's like a reboot to the immune system, along with, because it's all interrelated, the microbiome, the circadian rhythm, the immune system, they're all one, they're all intertwined. And they're doing research with dementia, they're doing research with cancer. So because this is harnessing the body's own intrinsic mechanism for survival and healing, you get benefits throughout the body. And the skin happens to be one of them. But that's like we said in the very beginning, the side effect is not a side effect, it's a side benefit. Every organ in your body will benefit from using Prolon. So I've done it myself. I try to walk the talk, and I've done it myself 13 times. My office happened to be the beta test site for the product before it was even marketed because of my relationship with the Longevity Institute. So I am obviously a very big fan of it. And one of the biggest things about it is that it's doable. It doesn't matter if something is great, if you're not going to get compliance and no one's going to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, compliance is key. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about the different types of fasting, because I think it can be really scary for people to say, what, I have to give up food? But if you can do it in a way that is sustainable rather than something that's super strict and makes people feel deprived, then that brings up a whole other host of issues of emotional upset. Mm-hmm. And then you're talking about psychological treatment for people.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know how it works. The wife comes in and then she recruits her husband, who may have kind of a little beer belly, perhaps, you know, and you get them together. And then you suddenly have the whole family unit getting healthy together. And it's so exciting when you see that sort of a thing, when something is going to give you almost immediate results. Especially men always seem to lose weight better than women. We know that, right? Faster, easier. So we'll have a husband and wife team doing Prolon together. And in the course of 1 month, it actually gives them, makes them want to be good. You know, it makes them, after they finish, like, I'm not going to eat that bad stuff again, because it just changes their whole view of their health and their their way of living. And I've seen husbands lose 15 pounds in 1 month. And we do body compositions and it's virtually all fat. It's like amazing. Now the wife will probably lose 8 pounds, you know, but I'll take it, you know, if I need, you know, and that is amazing, because even in the studies when they didn't hold true to any kind of a healthy diet, they went back to their stupid standard American diet. After 3 months, they had maintained 50% of the body fat weight loss. And that's doing nothing, you know, that's doing bad stuff. So when you actually do good stuff, and then you actually repeat this process on a individualized, but generally it's every month for 3 months, and then it's individualized. I'm on a every 3 month program myself. And that's a good maintenance program. It's so doable, and you see the results so quickly. You know, it's very hard when you tell people you're going to see results in a year. You know, this is, you're going to see results in 5 days. It's doable.
That's great. And I'm really glad you're doing body composition testing with that to actually monitor the fat loss, and that people aren't having sarcopenia, aren't having muscle wasting or muscle loss, because that is something that happens with a lot of weight loss programs. Yes. And a lot of fasting programs too. Like you said, it's not a good thing to do for people over 65, because they tend to have more of that muscle wasting. But monitoring that is so key. That's what I found when I was doing weight loss programs too, is it was so rewarding. I mean, losing 8 pounds of fat is significant. I mean, you're saying just, that, you know, people are like, sure, just 8 pounds. But if it, a lot of times people are just looking, they're getting on a scale and they're seeing 8 pounds. But if it's muscle, sometimes it's just that's muscle. Right. Sometimes it's muscle and fat. And if you're, but if you're just losing fat, or mostly, you know, of course, I think exercise is probably a component of what you recommend for people so that they continue to maintain and even gain lean muscle mass, right?
Absolutely. And the musculoskeletal system is so underrecognized as a critical component of longevity and overall health. It just needs to come out from the shadows. And I'm so glad that you're talking about it, because it just doesn't get the play. It only starts getting attention when people are at end stage, like end stage osteoporosis. And then it's a little late in the game. That's why we have to be proactive, even at much younger ages, right? Because, and that's, I just want to put a plug in for this. Bone and muscle are so critical, and estrogen and testosterone are obviously very critical to their development. And we grow most of our bone between puberty and into the mid-30s. And then after that, it's more like stability and then decline. So if a woman is on, and I've just seen this just today, a woman who spent virtually her entire reproductive life, except for 2 years, on birth control pills, she never was able to attain an optimal bone mass or muscle mass. And then someone did her test and she's already just osteoporosis. She's just at the verge of menopause, but she spent her whole life on birth control pills, virtually her whole life. Her time for building bone came and went. And we know that women on birth control pills never develop the musculoskeletal system that they should, and they probably don't have the health of their joints as well. The whole system is interrelated, and we need to wake up and just be honest about this. Women should not have unwanted pregnancies, but we shouldn't have to hurt them in such ways in order to prevent pregnancies. We just need to go back to the drawing board and rethink exactly what we're doing now that we really understand what these hormones do, which we didn't know when birth control pills came on the scene 60 years ago.
Well, and that opens up a whole other discussion. We don't actually have time to talk about today, which is hormones.
Thank you for letting me preach a little bit.
But I did want to, before, I mean, just to close this up, why is it that birth control pills prevent, you know, the lean muscle mass and building that up? Why is that?
Well, for a couple of reasons. One, they always talk about birth control pills as hormonal contraception, but there's actually not a hormone to be found in any birth control pill. If you actually went to the toxicology website for the U.S. Health Department, you'll find that all the ingredients of birth control pills are officially listed as endocrine disruptors. Now, BPA, which we know is an endocrine disruptor, it first tried to appear on the scene as a pharmaceutical. It was competing with DES, diethylstilbestrol, as a pharmaceutical. And now it's, you know, plastic in our, you know, and receipts and all this other stuff. So it's bizarre. I know it seems so bizarre, but we actually are consuming endocrine disruptors when we take a birth control pill. And you have to remember, the whole purpose of a birth control pill is to block nature's own hormone production. And it does it very well. But because they're not real hormones, they're not going to have the same impact. They're endocrine disruptors. So they bind to receptors, but they have varying effects. So on the bone, it just doesn't create the same effect. Plus, you, when you're on birth control pills, you increase a product made in the liver called sex hormone binding globulin. And that's the key to why birth control pills are used for acne. Okay, I'm sure you've talked about that, because it reduces the amount of testosterone that's available to act on the tissues by binding it to this protein called sex hormone binding globulin. But testosterone, as everyone will easily acknowledge, is rather important for making bone and muscle. Think about all the male athletes. Like, excuse me, some of them got in trouble because they wanted extra androgens, right? So androgens, that group of hormones, of which testosterone is number one, and then there's DHEA sulfate, androstenedione, the whole family, and they help build muscle and they help build bone. And those are missing in normal quantities. Plus, we now know that it's not just having something, it's having the rhythm. Like we talked about circadian rhythm. Well, women have a lunar rhythm, and there's this beautiful interplay. We now know that the spike of estrogen that occurs just before ovulation, that estrogen spike upregulates or opens the receptors of thyroid and testosterone and progesterone so that they actually work better. Otherwise, you have more what we call receptor resistance. So the testosterone and the thyroid, and of course, thyroid is very important for musculoskeletal development as well. Those hormones work better when you have the beautiful hormonal rhythm of a woman who is ovulating. Of course, none of that happens on contraceptive pills.
Yeah, it's amazing too. It's not just women going on birth control pills for birth control. Like you mentioned, a lot of women are put on birth control pills for acne, and they're put on a lot of times as teenagers before they're sexually active, and they're kept on it for many, many years because they're afraid if they go off, they'll get acne. And then again, we see women going through perimenopause that are put on birth control pills. And it's so frustrating to see that happening. So I'm glad we're talking about this, and I'll have to have you back on maybe to talk more about bioidentical hormones and more about birth control pills and alternatives to that, because I think it's important for us to talk about.
Oh, well, I would love that, because between us and the other people in our community, we have to be at the forefront of educating women about this, because it's so sad, because I'm an OBGYN and here my own community is touting birth control pills and don't even understand what they are. So, you know, together we'll try to get the word out and help women to understand so they can make informed choices, because isn't that what it should all be about, making informed choices?
Absolutely. And thank you for coming on the podcast today and helping people get the information so that they can make informed decisions. Tell everyone where they can learn more about you and connect with you.
Sure. So I have a website. It's very simple. It's FeliceLGirschMD.com. And I have, and through it, you can see I have Twitter and I have a Facebook. And I do have a new book that's coming out in the next few weeks, in fact, and it's on polycystic ovary syndrome. And so if you go to my website, I have a page on it, and you can actually register, and then it should be available on Amazon probably by 1 month from now.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you again for coming on today. Really appreciate the information.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Gersh and got some valuable information about fasting and how you might want to start incorporating that or looking into whether this is a good fit for you. As Dr. Gersh mentioned, I'm all about helping people with making informed decisions. She mentioned how important that is, and that's one of the reasons why I created this podcast, is I want to have guests on to help you learn a different aspect, something that kind of open your mind and increase your awareness. So I hope you enjoyed this information from Dr. Gersh today, and I want to look forward to seeing your comments and your feedback. What did you think of this interview? What more information do you want? Do you want more information on fasting, on hormones? How can I help you? So place a comment below the video on, you can do it on YouTube, on my website, and let us know how we can help you more. What topics, what guests do you want me to have? And if you want to learn more about Dr. Gersh, you can go to thespadoctor.com, go to the podcast page with her interview, and you'll find all the information there. And you can also get the transcriptions of the program. And while you're on the website, I encourage you to join the Spa Doctor community so you don't miss every upcoming show. Also encourage you to go to theskinquiz.com to take the free online skin quiz. Find out what messages your skin might be telling you about your health. Just go to theskinquiz.com. And also join me on social media on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and join the conversation. And I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor Podcast.